recording my phone, so we're going to go ahead and call the June 7th, 2021 Lake Riviera City Council meeting to order. We are going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Dave McCullough will not be here, so we're just waiting on Greg Preeb, who said he's on his way, coming across the dam now. But we will start with recognizing visitors. We got a little blurb here that's kind of new. Members of the public are welcome to use this time to comment about any matter relating to city business not listed on the agenda. Comments that are discussed during this time may or may not be acted upon by the council during this meeting. We've also implemented a 5-minute time limit for each person. When you're ready, just raise your hand and wait for me to recognize you, and please stand up and just state your name and address. And from that, we will start. Mark Zoltan, would you like to go first?
You bet.
Okay.
Mark Zoltan, 319 Pierce Trail West. I believe you all should have received a copy of the email I sent Brady with pictures of my dog and the attack by Danny's dog. First update, he had to go back to the vet yesterday for continuing problems from the attack. He's now got an ulcerated bite that's not looking very good. He's got to go again next week. Danny's dog has been found guilty, so why am I here? I'm here because the problem's not solved with this dog. Yeah, they got fined, and the other dog is now on record with the first offense. But the problem really exists is when this dog escapes again. We've got to put something in our laws, something in our governing laws, to protect homeowners and their dogs from a dog like this. I'm going to come up with some solutions for you, too. Just because this dog is found guilty doesn't address how this dog is handled in the future, and if and when he gets loose, and he will. He got loose a week and a half ago. We need to consider changing our laws. Perhaps we need to change the rules to specify once convicted, as this dog is, the dog must always be on a leash and must be muzzled anytime that dog is outside. A muzzle is not debilitating for a dog. I've checked with vets. Heck, I've got a brother that's a vet surgeon. And a muzzle is not debilitating, but that would prevent this dog from breaking loose again and hurting another dog, of which, by the way, if you're not aware of it, this dog has hurt and killed one dog. So my solution is muzzle this dog at all times. And if the dog is not muzzled, the dog goes off the lake. Secondly, it's come to my attention from the Reedies here that they were not even allowed to file a criminal complaint because the dog that was attacked was their daughter's dog. If that is in fact the case, why? It makes no sense whatsoever. Anybody, if I've got a guest and they bring their dog to my house, I'm responsible for that dog. Why wouldn't the Vannies be responsible for killing their dog? Why couldn't they have filed a criminal offense? So they should be allowed, and that's another possible change that we could make. Because then this dog would have had a second offense, and I don't care about the fine, but the dog would have had it be removed from the lake. Lastly, how are we going to notify our community that there's a vicious dog on Terrace Trail West? You walk past there. I've talked with neighbors. Neighbors are afraid to go near this dog. We've got to do something to bring visibility to the people that walk past my home every day with their dogs, that they're walking down an area where this dog may break loose and attack their dog. If they know, if I didn't know, maybe I could have reacted faster and my dog wouldn't have been attacked. I've identified three problems here. I've given you two solutions. The last one is the tough one. The last one is the tough one that says, how are we going to notify the community? because I know everybody's going to go, well, you know, there's privacy and all this. You know, that's fine. But the bottom line is, I didn't want to take the social media to notify everybody. I don't think that's the right way to go. So we didn't do that. But if we're forced to do that, we will do that, because I don't want to see somebody else's animal attacked like mine was. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. And you and I spoke on the phone. I hate to hear what happened. That's just, you know, devastating news. The dog was fined $500. They paid restitution. And the dog does have to be confined inside a fence or with a leash. Currently, right now, as the ordinance states.
But Brady, if I could.
Yep.
The dog was on a leash when he attacked my dog.
I understand that.
He broke loose from his owners.
I understand that.
As he does frequently. And I don't live right next door, thank
right.
God.
Yeah, no, I understand that, and I knew that. In regards to further restitution, how does that work? They've already been to court.
Right.
They've already paid.
Right.
But now there's additional bills.
Can we approach the judge with that? Let me look at the code real quick.
And you don't need to answer now, but that's something that we'll
look
at when you are.
It might be something we can approach the judge with, since it does come out of the same attack.
Yeah.
So we could look at that. We need to go back to court, though, because it is something that's ordered through the court.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'll look at that.
Okay.
And see if there's something we can do.
In regards to notifying neighbors, you know, it's one of those things that this happens in the city of Shawnee. You know, we got to think of this as a city. We cannot, you know, city of Shawnee can't notify everybody in the city that that's going on. Dean and I have not spoke about this. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but is there anything with Q Inc. as an HOA to notify neighbors? Well, and again, I don't need an answer tonight, but maybe it's something you and I get together and talk about.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know how to comment on that. I mean, we're not technically an HOA. We're an incorporated company.
Right.
So, I don't, this is the first time I'm involved in this.
Right. Like you said, Dean and I have not
talked. You did. So. I don't know, Brady. I'm happy to discuss it.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't have an answer.
But, yeah, no idea.
But let's talk about that tomorrow.
Sure.
Any other suggestions or ideas? Anything to add to Zoltan's comments?
Any comments on the muzzle?
That's something. So my plan is, Dave McCullough usually is our ordinance guy. He's not here. He's aware of what happened. I want Dave and somebody else to revisit the ordinance, because we do need to make some tweaks. And we'll get with Michelle and see if a muzzle is an option. My opinion, I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
So how does that work? I mean, because the dog is escaping, you know, when the door was open or whatever. And so does that mean the dog would be muzzled inside the house?
No. Anytime the dog's outside, it's the owner's responsibility to muzzle the dog. Now, if the dog is escaping, I'm not sure that's the case. A week and a half ago,
it was on.
There was, not mine, this is just a week and a half ago, mm-hmm. The dog was on a lead and broke loose again. So the kids obviously can't handle the dog. Mm-hmm. And if the dog had a muzzle, if my dog were up there and that dog came again, there would have been dire consequences for that dog. And the difference is if the dog had a muzzle, the dog can do no harm. It doesn't harm the dog. They can still drink water. They can still breathe. They're fine. Mm-hmm. But, and I'm not suggesting this for all dogs. I'm suggesting this for a dog that's been convicted like this dog has, and a dog like this that has attacked a number of dogs and killed one.
Yeah, I think that's something that we'll look into when we revisit the ordinance. You know, I don't think we're going to act on anything tonight.
Right.
That dog being under confinement now, in a fenced yard or leash, if that dog does escape again, a citation can be issued. Is that correct?
It would fall under the same criteria as your bike case. The witness would have to sign the complaint and appear before the court if it went to trial to testify.
Okay.
So there was another incident, it's just that wasn't reported after your dog was...
Oh, there were several incidents before
right.
mine occurred.
Yeah.
And had I known,
yeah.
and had I known who the dog was, I might have been able to react and see that dog coming, because I saw the dog running up the street. I figured it's a puppy. It's a golden retriever, of all things. And I figured it's coming to play like they all do. Well, this dog just went and just grabbed the pack of my dog and started shaking it like a running dog. And it's, if I had known, that would have been one thing. If the dog had a muzzle, it couldn't do that. And unfortunately, the other people have not reported it. And the Reedys here were told they could not report it because it wasn't their dog.
And the dog, is there an electric fence now in the, on the property?
There always was.
There always was, but it busts through.
Can they turn it up more? Is that an option?
If you get a vicious dog like that, that's what I'm being told by the vets. You get a vicious dog like that, that dog will break through because it wants that other dog. And it's a split second it gets the shock. That's mm-hmm. it. After that, it's free to roam.
Yeah. Well, Mark, again, I'm sorry that this happened, but I do feel like when we redid the ordinance, it was for cases like this, and I do feel like, you know, even though it might not be a first attack, this is the first report, and to me it went well. Maximum fine, restitution, confinement. So I feel good about that, but I do think we need to revisit the ordinance and consider some of these suggestions. I really do.
I appreciate it.
You bet. Who would like to go next?
I'll go.
Okay. Just name and address.
Mike Reedy, 360 Terrace Trail West, and I live next door to the Vannies. It was our dog, our daughter's dog, that was attacked last year and ultimately ended up dying. I would ask that you consider what Mark suggested regarding if a guest is out here and the dog belongs to somebody else. I think it, you know, that sort of makes sense. That the, you know, whoever is in care of the dog should be allowed to file a formal complaint. We did report it. We talked to Chief Kniger
several times.
And, you know, it required our daughter to come over and actually file the complaint. And unfortunately, at the time, she had so much going on in her life that, you know, she wasn't able to get it done. And so, you know, it just kind of fell by the wayside. But the dog does get out, has gotten out, I would say one to two times a week
All the time. Yeah. Henry's dispatched to our pond because the dog gets in our pond and does damage to the rocks. And Henry is, you know, the boys are out there, don't jump in the pond. You know, it's a big show, everybody trying to get Finn.
Yeah.
You know, and we had our son had his dog over. We were on our back patio, and Annie kind of went down the driveway and took one step in their yard, and Finn got Annie around the neck, but Nick was there in time to stop that from becoming a big incident. And I was going to report it, and Mike said, Annie stepped in their yard.
Yeah.
You can't, but any time anybody comes near, I'm scared to death of a dog.
Yeah.
I want a dog. I want to get a little dog. But I won't do it with Finn over there. I'm scared of him, and I told Bridget that. I said, yeah. I wanted to come and make friends with the dog.
Yeah.
I said, can I come and play with, you know, because he snarls, he growls, he acts like he's going to kill me. And, you know, this is a vicious dog. You know, I appreciate what Mark is saying about a muzzle, but, you know, there's a dog that is a little bit cantankerous and, you know, a little out of control. That is not this dog.
Yeah.
This dog bites to kill. You know, he tried, I mean, Berkeley's all the way around the neck. He just barely missed it. You know, he shook him. He wanted, the vet said, he's going to do it again. He's going to do it to a kid. And they just see something in their vision that they want, and they go after it. And I think we're being negligent by allowing Ben to even remain on the leg. He's vicious.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a dog lover. I love all dogs, but that one, And it's frightening to live next door to him, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
It is.
I understand where you're coming from. I remember when that happened. I don't remember. I do now that it was your daughter's dog, but I couldn't remember why there wasn't a report filed and all that. But, you know, now everybody here knows that dog needs to be confined. And if anybody sees that dog out, you know, a report can be made.
If I could just add one more thing. I felt like as time went on, you know, we forgive, and, you know, it's in the back of my mind all of the time. But it just is so upsetting that, you know, we don't have a registry or something. Every time I brought it up, I just felt like I was rubbing salt right in the Vannies. They didn't want it to happen. They're nice people. That is the last thing they wanted to have happen. So getting neighbor against neighbor with this complaint stuff without somebody saying, you know, you neighbors don't have to fight about it. Report it, it'll be written down, and then you can go on. Every time I said something, I know it just got hurt to the core. I mean, that was awful. There should have been another way to address it, to where you could be kind and say, hey, this incident happened. I'm, you know, personally, I can live next door to you. Let somebody else come in and say, you know, where you're just not always like.
I appreciate what you're saying. However, I look at it. The reason I filed the complaint was not just because I was lit, but because I want to protect the rest of the community from this stuff. So, you know, if the Vannies hate me, I don't care. The rest of the community.
Next door to them.
Well, that's very true. Very
Let
true.
Me just say
but,
that.
But
I
the
see
rest of the community, I want to protect. I see people walking past my house every day with dogs.
Yeah.
And when he says, they're going to lose one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will.
So,
they will.
And I agree with you. This is not a typical roughhousing dog.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. I really do. Like I said, I think the way Mark went about it, filing the report, Fred was able to get a statement from the Vannies. They went to court. I don't even think Mark, he didn't even have to show up to court because they were pleading guilty. So I think it worked smooth, but I also understand what you're saying. It's hard when it's your neighbor and, you know, you want to be neighborly. I would just ask you guys just keep an eye out and Dean and I can talk. I would, I'm going to suggest to Dave McCullough and Michelle to see what we can do about visitors' dogs, because there are, you know, lots of people come in town and they bring their dogs. And
I'll visit with the prosecutor, too. There may be some things we can even do under our current ordinance, but
yeah.
I just need to visit with him a little bit, make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would say, I mean, I'm reading the ordinance now. If that dog's loose, it needs to be reported, because
yeah.
if it first conviction for that dog being off leash or out of the yard is $500. Second one, the dog has been removed from the community.
Yep.
And $1,000 fine. So that is already in place. So if that dog is out and it breaks free, you know, it needs to be reported. That's
yep.
the only way we can do anything at this point in time under our current ordinance. But, and I understand where you're coming from, but it's something that is in place now. We need to take advantage of what we already have.
Yes. Yes. I agree. Just be aware and be ready to call the police.
So what does that mean? If I see the dog run in front of my house, do I snap a picture and do I call the police?
I would definitely call the police. Fred, what do you say?
Because by that time, the dog's probably back home. So
could be.
I mean, what's my word against theirs?
Fred probably has to
answer. Yes, it would be, lack of video or photographic evidence. It is your word against theirs. And that's pre-video cell phone days. That's how we did things. Even in law enforcement. I started law reform dash cams and body cams. So even before this incident, if you weren't aware, our ordinance specifies that if a dog, unwanted dog, is on your property, that is a violation, and you could have reported it and prosecuted that. And I think it's important for everyone to understand and take away and pass on to others that aren't here that there's a difference between reporting an incident and filing a complaint to bring that dog owners to court, because it takes a conviction for it to count as a past offense. So The last thing we want is laws that are void for vagueness and lack due process. So there needs to be the rights, just as you would have the rights of your dog. If I were making accusations, you should be able to defend yourself instead of a report that says, the Reedy's dogs were out and were out at me. And that couldn't count without a conviction. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Sort of. Yes. Well, just to pick up from there, I mean, basically, it's if a report's made and it goes to court, then the judge makes the determination of whether it's guilty or not guilty, whether there's been a violation of the code. So it, right, just the phone call, just the report, any of that alone is not sufficient. It would have to go to court.
Yeah.
But that's what the court's here for, is to make those determinations.
Unless there is video evidence or pictures.
If there's video evidence, great. If there's not, it's a statement. The person would have to come testify if it went to trial. But, you know, just like in this situation, they didn't contest it. It didn't go to trial. They pled.
Yeah.
No one had to appear other than the defendant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's always great to have extra evidence. But, again, people have to come testify under oath all the time without there being any photo evidence.
Right.
Well, what's difficult here is that only the people here know that we've talked about this. Other neighbors aren't going to know. They need to report it. They, you know, it's not going to be word of mouth. But it puts more onus on you guys because you're right there. But
a lot of people on Terrestrial West are aware of it, though, Amy. I mean, the Pribbles, the Kistlers, the Gomers, the...
our immediate neighbors.
Oh, the doctor, his wife. I mean, I think the dog actually went after one of their dogs at one time as well. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, Walters.
Walters, thank you.
Yeah.
Last name. So there's... Terrestrial West is pretty aware. I don't know that he gets much further than that. The third block of Terrestrial West very often when he gets away. But, you know, he's definitely plowed through our backyard. He's jumped in our pond. He's
multiple things.
You know, and we have a regular daily visit from their other dog, Stella.
Oh, yeah.
Who comes over to drink water because I don't know that she gets water over there.
Well, she gets it in our house.
And she, yeah, I mean, she goes to where she can get a little bit of, you know, care. So, it's, and she's a fine dog. We don't mind that.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think the three of you have had really good suggestions, and I think we'll look at all those and look at the ordinance and bear with us, and we'll let you know.
Thank you.
Look forward to hearing from you. Beth? OJ?
OJ
Simpson, visitor comments.
My comment is nothing near as serious as this. I'm not sure whether this belongs here or at Q Inc., but the common grounds at Corbera are the worst shape that they've been in since I've lived here, or since I've been coming here for the last 40-some years. They're deplorable. The dam, the city owns the dam, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
The dam, we through this tunnel.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. In fact, all three dams are deplorable.
That's us, OJ.
Huh?
That's us.
Well, it needs to be. When it bothers an old coot like me, it's ugly. I live with ugly. I got to look in the mirror every day.
I do know the dam is getting mowed before our inspection Wednesday. I don't think the rain helped.
The rain slowed down anything. That's all I did. It rained for those 10 days straight, and I really couldn't get to anything. But it didn't rain there last week. Yeah, I know. We're getting caught up. Yeah, and we're we are budgeted to have 23 people, and we currently have 16. And that we had 9 2 weeks ago, and we hired out. So we're now. You want to fill an application?
No, I don't.
We potentially could, but we're getting ramped up right now and getting caught up a little bit. So we should be there. Again, Todd and I talk about it almost daily. Gail and I talk about it. We're meeting on some of the common area that we take care of out here. From time to time, we're meeting on that Wednesday, so it's on the radar. We're trying to get caught up. There's some areas that Todd didn't know about, that some homeowners pointed out to me that we drove out and took a look at. So we're doing our best to stay on top of it, and we're getting, I see progress of us getting caught up as we get more people.
I went around 3 times a day, but I didn't see one mower anywhere.
Well, I saw mowers everywhere today.
Now, I also think the discussion that Dean and Gail are going to have might include, looking to hire an outside landscaping company in the future. So
potentially.
Yeah.
So good. I know the close. Yeah.
Yeah. For the city. For the city.
Yeah. Yeah. For the city areas.
Yeah.
Okay. So my complaint. Thank you.
Anything else?
You look very handsome tonight.
Thank you. I've been told I'm a little sunburned.
Are you going to go to the board meeting and tell me I look handsome or at a board meeting?
Don't stretch it.
No, you don't want me.
Just kidding.
Okay. Any other comments from visitors? All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you all for coming. You're welcome to stay. We are going to move on to consider approval of minutes from the May 3rd meeting. Council, everybody get a chance to look at the minutes from the May 3rd meeting?
I move to approve the minutes from the May 3rd meeting.
Got a motion to approve? Got a second, okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion.
Get a second.
Oh, okay. Did we get that?
Who seconded that?
Andy. Okay. Yep. Good. Moving on to Aaron Leckie, Treasurer's Report.
Okay. For the month of May, we are 1.3% above budget for the month, brings us to 0.5% above for the year. We are 4.2% below budget for expenses, brings us to 3.9% below for the year. This is going to be a really short report because I did not see hardly anything out of the ordinary that I usually point out. I will note on page 4, there's the payment to Foresight Solutions for the work that's been done on the Damon Spillway project. And really, other than that, I did not see too much that was out of the ordinary. But, as always, if anyone has any questions, there were two journal entries, both of which related to building permits.
Gotcha. I saw one, and now I can't seem to find it. Kingston Printing?
That would be for the publication of
the briefs.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that was one that I wasn't sure.
That was $2,354.16.
Yes.
Was that for the full publication?
That's what the invoice said.
Well, we paid for part of it. Part of it was marketing. I mean, it was printing and the marketing, and we divvied it up.
Okay, gotcha. Any other questions for Aaron regarding the treasurer's report? Okay. I'd entertain a motion to approve that. Or?
So moved.
Got a motion?
A second.
Got a second. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to Bill Cole.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Want reinforcements?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Just for my comments. She's better looking.
Thank you. Absolutely. Okay. McClure status, they are working on it. We should have our first draft this week. McClure has, this is for the spillway, looking at Tom Hayes' concept, validating that it is a legitimate way for us to go, and then from that point coming up with estimates of the cost and possibly other short-term assignments, such as on the west, looking at traffic. We've not released them for any of that kind of stuff, but we want to see the quality of the work that they've done so far. The dam inspection is scheduled for Wednesday. You're welcome to come, Dean, if you can. You're welcome to come, Aaron, if you can, because of both your roles on the emergency response. It's going to be mowed by then, I hope, because that's, thank you very much. And there was some discussion about that. Dean had, leaving it to some level of, and that happens all over Kansas, okay, trying to control the cost of having to mow. But you need to mow twice a year to make sure you cut down and looked at it for birds' nest, for animal, anything else that's crawling into the dam and making a hole that can later leak. But a variety of dams across Kansas use various levels. Nobody goes to prairie grass, however. Nobody goes to the full growth. So a foot, foot and a half might be the maximum. But I think we're going to have back to where we were, where it's a moat surface that kids can fall down on. Let's see, hydro study update. We are getting from Dean, we're still getting the monthly bills to be looked at.
Yes.
Once we have those, we'll know. That's somewhat on a hiatus at the moment, but we've got to compare when our usage and how much of our usage there is to compare against our supply. So if you look at the water that's in our valley as our fuel, and when it's here, then look at when is our need to use it. So can we pump at the exact same times as we start a turbine and run those while Dean needs to pump for the golf course or while time of day, et cetera. The other thing to think about is that we need to give some consideration to the lake level, and that involves the politics of a recreational lake. If you think about it, can we put another 2 feet of water permanently in the lake right now? The answer would be no if you look at the beach and where the water would be, and look around the lake and where all the docks would be. Mm-hmm. Can we put another foot? Maybe. We need to think about the impact of that. How far down would we, as a recreational lake, allow the lake to go to provide that 2 feet of fuel? So we have 177-ish acre feet, which is plenty of water, and it's replenished. We have a little couple of these the filler dams behind where we have a little more water. But the key point is how much do we want to go, and does that make sense for us to be able to use that? I mean, a good flow that pumps a turbine, again, this is ballpark figure, would get you 6 hours and 4 inches of the lake. It's not going to take very much. But there are times, and again, here's an exception. For the week that happened in Texas, would we as a city allow the lake to go 3 feet lower than it was? If the answer is yes, then we would pay the electric bill for everybody here in mm-hmm. Lake Revere during that week. You follow me? There's extremes where the dollar value of the electricity is enormous. It wasn't quite that bad here in Kansas, but we can easily see that. I'm not after that. I'm after the little bit that pays our usage on here inside of the bounds, not inside of an Evergy bill. But still having Evergy back us up because we can't count on the water all the time. So that's basically what we need to do. So we're kind of waiting on those bills. Once we have those, we run the study on the demand versus the supply and see if it makes any kind of sense.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I know there's some really shallow places on the lake, so how deep are those? Like, if you were to take something down 2 feet or whatever, I mean, wouldn't it look almost like the silt tarn?
No, it would be a challenge in a few areas around the lake.
That's
my dock.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
And, you know, if you're not in the middle of that area outside of mine, I can stick my hand out and wave at everybody from my feet on the ground. So that's 8 feet deep. Mm-hmm. It would be 6 feet deep. That gives you that channel that goes back to the woods, which would be dried out at that point. And again, I'm not advocating that. I'm saying, what is the tolerance level of this place?
Okay. How much water is let out during the wintertime?
Enormous amounts. He's got that calculation. It's in the thing. But the report is to finish.
Well, how many feet do you think it is?
It's 30-something inches, right?
I think it's close to 2.5 feet.
I was going to say 2 to 3 feet.
In the wintertime when we take it down, it's a 3 foot drop. Okay. And if you stop and think about that, if we do that 3 times during the year, we just took 9 feet times 177 acre feet is what we have. That's 177 times 9 acre feet. And that's a lot of water. But the question is that a lot of generating water, and was it at the right time? And is it, all those things have to be coordinated. And that's, at this particular point, still to be determined. And that's what, remember, that we haven't charged for that study. That's something we're doing on the side. Now, Aaron has graciously found COVID round 3 money, which may allow and apply to that area, along with a variety of other things. So basically, in the Biden terminology, anything green that a city didn't plan on could be in that bailiwick of sources. The second issue that makes it positive, and correct me if I'm wrong, here on any of this, is it doesn't flow through Wyandotte or Johnson County. It flows from the state, from the feds to the state, to the cities.
Right.
The ARPA, the American Rescue Plan Act funds that I discussed last time is what he's referring to. So you come through with a little bit more designation of like what you have to spend the money on.
Yeah.
Or what are approved categories. Remember we went through the five categories last time, and one of those is water.
And whatever the amount is, we get half the one time half.
Half. The state of Kansas has our money.
Right.
They have acknowledged receipt of money.
But we don't
right
know how
now
much.
The argument is that this is totally off topic, but townships are coming out saying that they want money.
Okay.
But Kansas townships are very small and don't really have things going on that they could spend and match up to the categories.
Gotcha.
And so the House and Senate are trying to decide.
So we still don't know how much we're getting?
We know we're on the list now.
Okay.
Remember last time we weren't on the list because the U.S. Treasury Department didn't realize that unified government was multiple cities.
Right.
That's been taken care of. We are on the list.
Okay.
But I have not seen any numbers.
Yeah.
Johnson County got $175 million.
Yeah.
So if you cut that down a lot.
Yeah.
But in terms of paying for any hydro upgrade, that could be a possibility.
Yeah.
Or anything that deals with stormwater.
Uh-huh.
And you could make a case we are dealing with stormwater.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's one of the things we could look at. So those are the three main topics. McClure, we should know something later this week. We'd inform you and John if there's anything that is a hiccup. But this group has some decision making to do to say, okay, when do we tell people, or what are we going to tell them? We're closing that spillway on the west side. We're going to cover it up with dirt. We're going to put a pipe in that takes it to a waterfall. And at some later date, we can take and hook onto that pipe, another pipe that takes it down to it'll be down here by the wastewater plant, because the electrical connections at that wastewater plant, which is now just a pump station,
mm-hmm.
could be used for us to connect. You'd also get Johnson County Wastewater talked into maybe supporting it with us because they need the power also to pump around the lake. So there's things we've got to decide first. Is it enough water? What will we commit as a community to use that water for? And then beyond that is just, are we going to be green? We're a tree city. Are we a green city? And then we have the solar panels and other discussions that we could move from, including the hydro that's in place. The last piece of that is that we're a public entity and a private, not-for-profit corporation. How do we divide that debt? Because they got a bigger electric bill than we have. Does the city pay for the capital and they run it? And how that is carved up? And we're back to that the presentation I made last year about this time about here's some ideas.
Yeah.
And we need to get that cranked if we're interested in doing something like this after we have that feasibility report done. All right, I think you talked to people at Mother's Club about ideas. She asked before the report. I think there's a publicity issue that needs to go on, so there's none of this. I didn't know anything about this because, sure, we all want to fix the traffic stop on the west side of the dam, but do we want to cover up the beautiful 100-year-old spillway?
Right.
My answer is yes, and add three more docks there if we want, or a public dock for everybody to use. I don't know, whatever.
And a nice overview thing.
And an overview from that spot. Something like that. Or do we leave it like it is? Do we be able to turn at that corner with two lanes?
Yeah.
A wide variety of traffic issues that would be benefit. A walkway that is on one side. Okay, I'm done.
And notifying people, we kind of talked maybe down the line, town hall style meetings.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And get input for what we want to
right.
do. I think is a critical aspect.
Right.
The last piece of that, just think of the controls we have on Opti here. What if we control the other one?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we control the one that's over by George's house? Wouldn't that be another means? Shouldn't we build another one upstream? I've tried this with Shawnee, and I got a response that was not necessarily favorable to add a water retention basin behind it. But there's opportunities there or other things that we can do. The 12 and 13, the creek, and where it fills up and covers the road, should we raise that road there? Variety of things we do for stormwater, and if the feds are giving you fake cash, should we use it? That's the question.
Well, and did you say $175 million?
It's what Johnson County got.
So, I just pulled the
census, there's 602,000, so we're basically 1/600. Mm-hmm. So based on that math, we'd be getting close to $300,000. So
I don't think we'll be there.
But I guess the county would keep.
My guess would be, I think we'll be in the 80. I would be surprised if we were.
Because with the original CARES funding, didn't Olathe get 4 or 5 million?
Yes.
And
we got 42,000.
So.
But, I mean, it's going to be a significant.
It's going to be a significant sum of money. And we have until 2024 to have a plan for spending the money. And until 2025 to actually spend the money.
Wow.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I had a note.
We should spend it now while it's worth something.
Yeah.
I had a note from last month. SMAC funding. I think you had reached out, but
yes,
there wasn't any available, but you were going to try another.
Yeah, I went to the Mother's Club. Garden Club. And it was about the Kansas River. Very interesting, but it wasn't on topic, so I didn't jump in with. Well, there's funding for Garden Club participation from SMAC. And it's done by a not-for-profit here in town. I frankly dropped the ball and didn't get it last year. We will get it this coming year so that if you do your garden a certain direction so that it stops stormwater, goody-two-shoes, and everything else about rain barrels and everything else. So we can get partial funding for both private and public. So think about how the city has the wonderful things that Gail and everybody does out here, or how you all do that. We've got to get up to speed on that. Money is budgeted in July. So I'm going to get that from them this month, what the rules are, and get us fully engaged with them to try and tap that funding source.
That's awesome. Okay. Any other questions for Bill?
You had a question. Or did I answer?
Yes, sir. Okay. And it was how much we dropped the water level in the wintertime.
Go ahead.
I did ask him for permission to share his just the plan for the soccer field area with them, because like Gail has spoken about, Garden Club may be interested in helping with one of those projects. Mother's Club also
the soccer field.
Yes, Mother's Club also expressed interest in their casino night that will be in February of 22.
Right.
What they could do and what some of the ideas. That
That's fine with me as long as everybody knows this is just potential. These are just
all ideas. That I told them.
Yeah.
Yep. That they went down the same road that Gail had with when will we have a better idea?
Well, because we've got the homestead option, and in order, just like all the other events out at Lake Wivera, everybody's learned when you have an auction, if you can state what it's for,
exactly,
it makes a lot of difference than saying, let's just we need donations and whatever, and we'll just keep piling up the money and then. 3 or 4 years from now, we'll use it on something.
Yeah.
And so you don't get the response like you do, like on the golf simulator.
Yeah, that makes sense.
As an example.
Okay. Anything else for Bill? Okay. Thanks again, as always, Bill.
Not a problem. When that hydro study is finished, we'll make sure we deliver it to you free of charge. But if we build something with hydro, and it's paid for by the feds, we probably enjoy being paid for that service that we provided.
We can talk about that later. That might be reasonable.
You're
good.
He's pretty smart.
All right, moving on.
But yes, I would say be prepared for a lot of questions because a lot of people, there are only like 5 or 6 who saw the part of the report that they have.
Yeah.
A lot of questions.
I'm sure. All right, moving on to police report.
Everybody received my monthly report. Just to add to that, on the details of line 5, that animal call is the Fulton incident. There was not a second dog versus dog attack. Just clarification in case that popped into anyone's mind.
Okay.
Any other questions?
It's been relatively, of course, this goes through May 15th. Well, I guess May 15th is half. Summer was kind of almost on the way. Have things gone pretty well?
Yeah, so far things are great. I love it here.
Well, are you staffed up, Dane, on the security side? Because I know we were kind of dealing with that last summer.
For Guardhouse and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good. We changed companies from Securitas to GardaWorld to provide a lot better service, more consistent staffing, better people. So we're probably in a better place with who we have in there now. Emily's still leading that team as long as far as the guardhouse goes, and then Jen Alley in our office. So we're good. Okay. They also have allowed us to hire a couple security people to be on boats for 4th of July. So from 3 to dusk, we'll at least have somebody patrolling the buoys when we set out the board for fireworks.
It's not going to be Brady this year.
That will be helpful.
No, I actually think it is going to be Brady this year.
No.
I opened my mouth at our meeting and Dean said, okay, I'll write you down.
To put the buoys out?
Yeah. Oh, did you forget about that?
No, I got it on my notes. Oh. I would have read it a bit.
Like temporarily. Yeah. Sure.
Those glow sticks are where you guys put the balls were pretty cool last year.
Yeah. So I think the only thing that I had some feedback over the weekend, if you guys are out and it's 10, 11, if you pull to the beach, maybe shine a light down there once in a while, it sounds like we've got some late night events going on that are leaving a lot of trash and barbecuing and they're not supposed to be really doing any of that. So I got some pictures of trash that I can send you. We could have talked about this offline, obviously, but since we're talking.
We'll talk more about it offline.
Yeah.
Oh, and I know something I meant to, not trash, trash related, but so I understand, and I'm sure that, I'm assuming the police got called on this, that there was a huge function at the end of Navajo, and all the cars, huge function, just, I don't know, just a couple days ago, I think.
Saturday night.
And all the cars parked on the emergency exit. So if they would have,
they
that's
might,
what we have been told.
They might have at one point when I went up there, they actually put up a sign that said no parking or no exit or something to that
effect. I was a participant at the event.
Uh-huh.
And when I pulled up, I noticed there was a golf cart there. A neighbor had come by and I moved a few golf carts out of the way. There were some golf carts parked there.
Okay.
There was one parked, if the road goes this way, it was parked perpendicular.
We didn't get, we didn't go to the party. But I heard somebody who could not move their landscape trailer from the area because, and they were parked all the way, but maybe it all got taken care of anyway. I assumed everybody knew.
There's quite a few cars parked up and down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Did the police ever get a call from anybody?
Not that I was off.
Right.
So nothing that was bad enough to call a phone call to me on my day off.
Yeah.
But I do know that the graduation party that was taking place, they took the steps to request no parking signs there. I pushed that request to QA, and they did in fact put the signs up. Unfortunately, apparently, people...
Golf carts were the violators.
Yeah, I think it was mainly golf carts that were in and out of that spot.
Okay.
Yes.
There were a bunch of cars parked, I mean, pulled up the street. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I was about to park my golf cart.
And then a couple met you on the lifeguards, if you haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, they were good last year, and they're almost the same crew this year. They're really good. It's a good staff.
Any other questions for Fred or his police report?
A positive on the speed is on the backside of the lake increases dramatically in the summertime. It's probably age driven.
Yeah.
We had a young man go by at about 45, and so I called one of the officers. Paul and I were leaving. He went up and got something, so we're leaving. And I stopped. He went by, and I yelled at him to slow down. And then he passed Paul in front of Blessing Park. And your officer handled it very well. The gentleman was coming to fish with the two of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, did you get a ticket? He said, no, his mom took care of it. So he was an off-lake kid visiting an off-lake. But the officer handled it very well.
Good.
I think we have two issues. Construction folks that are here in the summertime much more so, and the speed we drive at. And the youth, and it's, I saw the old man, and the speed we drive at. I'm not sure what we do. Because it's not totally dangerous, but it's just at this particular time there's a straightaway on the south side.
Yeah.
And we're around Blessing. I know there's speed bumps that don't allow to stop it.
I think Fred's guys do a great job. And Fred can even move that, radar on weekends to, where it's somewhere prominent.
It was twofold. Compliment on the officer that did it. And second, we got to think about don't know, is there a way to handle, to hand somebody at the gate who's just a visitor, 20 means 20, or something like that, something that just says, we actually want you to go.
Yeah.
I know they used to put signs on the gate, but keep it in the gate. The city wants to invest in about what? Maybe go
every quarter?
Maybe at least 20 mile an hour
stickers
for the gates.
We'll
buy it, and maybe that'll be a
couple gates
a
quarter.
The other day, the cop car was sitting up on that path. I don't know where it goes. That where the kind of like off, wherever that chop shop is up the hill for the golf course.
Yeah,
that police car was sitting there, and it's such a presence when you pull in the gate. It's sitting right there. It's it's kind of like a reminder.
Yes.
Visitors. Yeah. Even if there's no one in the car.
It was me. I was sitting there waiting for Judge. There was a graduation party that I had a little conversation for one young man that said, is that a cop? I'm like, yes, come here. Come here. I just want to let you know I'm not giving any breaks. So pass the order. And he went back to the graduation party.
Good.
I sat around and made sure be, you know, everybody behaved. And no, they did.
That might be a good place to put someone on the fourth.
Yeah.
Or put the spare part. It's part of the spare part.
Right. That's a great one.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. There's a big town called Denison, Kansas, and the same car, rusted out now with a cherry top on top, sits on the side of the highway.
That's awesome.
I don't go through there often. I know it's there. I've been going through that town for 70 years, and I slow down every time I see that damn car.
You should just park the spare there whenever no one's not using it.
Yeah.
Gail brought up a good point about the emergency exit. Those are the neighbors over there, obviously they know it's there. They've got that unfortunate responsibility of maintaining their... Do they know?
I think Ewing maintains the grass there.
Do they, like, do the neighbors know when they have gatherings to respect that?
Yes, the individual that had the party there, she's the one that made the arrangements. Mm-hmm. So that neighbor's up to it. And the other one, he will give you in your full.
Okay.
Really? Well, I was going to tell Bill thanks for the compliment. So
never would have known he would have given you an earful. What?
Yeah.
He's never done that.
We've never been on that side. all right, moving on. City Council reports. Area of responsibility. Greg?
Guardrail. Let's see, on that holiday drive, they actually did something.
Yep.
I don't know exactly how they stabilized.
I think the ground was probably so soft they thought.
It would have been nice if they had pulled the old retired ones out before they put the new ones in, but I guess that's part of the stabilization.
Yep.
Shout out to Mayor and McEnany's Eric Boseman for a holiday drive on getting KCK to pay for that $30,000 stick.
KCK and Shawnee. That was all Eric.
That was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, that was great. Worked out great and got it done quickly and looks good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That piece between, there's like three sections in there. I think you guys have all driven it before, but that I think it's that KCK piece was actually part of the worst of it all.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was.
So that was exciting to get that done.
Yeah, that looks great.
It's even better just having it milled down.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Brady, don't be mad that he left before you thanked him because he told me that the guardrail was ugly. So, I told him I really don't care what it looks like because it will actually do its job.
I can't wait for his plans to come out.
Yeah, exactly.
Greg, would you call KCK and tell him thanks, but we think it's ugly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you going to pull the dead bodies out of the ground there?
It might be a stable.
Yeah. I'm just glad it's done. It's safe. It's, you know.
We have to pay for it, so that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Greg,
I have a lot of people on over my property. Thank me for getting Corbeer to drive down. I feel sure that I passed that on. The city did that. That was not cute. So there,
some
there
of the
are
times
a
you
lot
do,
of,
but sometimes
no,
you don't.
No, there are a lot of grateful people out there with that.
Yeah.
That it looks so much better.
Yeah.
That is so impressive. I mean, I can't believe, Kathy,
except for Herbie,
that we touched it and did this and did that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like you're in a, like,
it's
whoa,
just so seamless.
I'm in a resort. Yeah.
That's
how it feels.
Yeah.
An ant's fault.
I was really stressing out when this KCK piece. I'm like, God, this is going to look so horrible.
they have, oh, welcome to Lake Revere, a nice road, and then it's this pothole mess.
That was my fear. I knew that Shawnee had the existing contract with them and that we were willing to do it, but I was like, okay, it's going to be smooth, and then like this, and then smooth again.
It does throw a wrench in my ability to determine where something happened. So the road was really bad there.
Was it really bad? Kind of bad. Just okay.
Okay, yeah. Or if it was bad, it's like, no, call Casey K.
All right. Anything else, Greg?
That's it.
All right. Thank you. Annie?
Well, we're working on our 50th anniversary celebration. And so... We're moving forward. Gail put together an invite, and we're actually working. This is just a template, but we are trying to come up with some consistent logo and just signage and just so we've Kathy Simpson is working on the project with us, and her graphic designer guys. We're going to he's going to give us a quote on working on not only the visual communication pieces, but also part of the celebration is we're going to do a video and interview some former mayors, have some historical photos, and just kind of just really tell the story of why it's a big deal that we became a city. And so that's moving forward. We're working on that. Another big part of it is we're looking into sponsorships. And Michelle, I wanted to ask you about this, if that is okay from a city perspective. So we were going to seek out some of our vendors to see if they would sponsor fireworks or a table or a couple things. I just wanted to make sure from a city standpoint if there was anything that we needed to be kind of aware of or not, you know.
Off the top of my head, I think that's a great idea, but let me double check it.
Okay.
Just to make sure that, you know, I mean, well, again, we'll just need to watch for some liability aspects of it. But
right.
Just pure, can we do it?
I told Annie that Waste Management gave us money for
fireworks.
But I don't think we.
Well, part of it
depends on
what it is.
Yeah,
you're sponsoring the whole thing. Where does the money go to? Does it go directly to the vendor? Does it go directly to the city? You know, kind of how does all that play into it? Does the city pay for it? And they reimburse? I mean, there's just a few little details.
It would be easier sell if they were, like we discussed, if they were purchasing the fireworks or, maybe much more like. Tangible.
Yeah. And we're starting to do that. We're starting to do that here pretty quick.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So Brady, that's our next thing is to get that because we have a pretty lofty $10,000 goal. So we're going to do that. We're also let's see what else. We're going to have fireworks and really trying to get some of the former mayors engaged and really. Need all of us to engage with the community and create a good celebration because it's part of our history. And so that's definitely something that we'll do because this is a big deal.
Yeah. So. I think it's going good.
Okay. Just before I start looking into that, are you thinking, would you have them pick a certain thing that they would be donating to? Would you just be asking for money and then just list all the names for everything?
Yeah, fireworks donated by Waste Management. Something like that.
And we were going to do some maybe some table sponsorships if they would consider sponsoring a table.
Okay.
We're going to sell tickets to it. Gail's working with the clubhouse on that. It's on September 11th.
Okay.
So we'll do a program. We've got a program started on what that's going to look like. And then do some other visual things within the ballroom so that we can kind of highlight some of the key things that happened in the city over the years. And then we're having a band out on the patio at the end of the evening. So,
And the money would come directly to the city, then, I assume, is what you're thinking?
I'm thinking, and then we'll just cut checks from the city to the different vendors.
Okay.
When we did the volunteer firefighter party, Waste Management gave us a grant, so is what they call it, a community improvement grant or community appreciation grant or something like that.
So can you put together a list of maybe, since you're most aware of our vendors, I mean, Brady will know a lot of them too, but we're just going to hit it. We've got a statement that we're kind of working on now as to how we're going to sell it, and we're just going to work our way through this list.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep. Good. Anything else, Annie?
Nope.
Good. John?
My main thing is I've listed under old business, but I'll just going to 4th of July now. I'm not just saying this because Dean is here, but we have the annual get the 4th of July, Mother's Club, Fun Run, City, Q Inc., Powwow, and the Q Inc. presence this year was substantially better than it's ever been, and at least in my time in doing this, so it was awesome. I mean, everybody was there, Fred and Todd and Dean and security, and anyway, it was good. It was effective. We're proceeding as if it's going to be normal. I haven't shared this yet, Annie. You should be, maybe you already know, but we dialed back what the city does and promo stuff to scoot $1,000 over to the party on the 11th. So,
are you a sponsor effectively then?
Well, I don't know if I, that might be a conflict of interest, but sure, put me on the invite.
Partially sponsored by the 4th of July.
Yes, there you go. So we've got beach balls and golf towels to give away. So everybody at the city, if you are down there, did the Mother's Club decide if we're convening at Eastside Park or the parking lot?
I thought we decided we were going to stage at the beach parking lot, correct?
Okay, yeah. So beach parking lot, so we'll just go. Brady and I will have the swag there, so go grab some and pass them out or whatever.
So we'll be across the dam again?
Yeah, so everything, we're proceeding as if it's to, you know, non-COVID.
Beach games, everything.
Yep. So Fun Run, 7:30, parade, beach games, fireworks, all that. Shawnee's going to do their part with the fire truck. Prather, if he can do a flyover, it's going to be, like, you probably won't know for sure on the July 3rd. He's doing something about a Johnson County executive with, I think they got a few Blue Angel planes. I told him, I'm like, well, let's bring him over. I'm like, come on, that would up it a little bit. But he's
been to bring over me too.
Okay. So anyway, but there's all sorts of restrictions around the city on the 4th of July due to flight paths for the Blue Angels. So anyway, we're just going to have to be flexible on that, but I told him,
Have you ordered the dumpster?
So that's my question. I reached out to Mike Hay.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Oh.
John Blessing.
I've gotten crickets. 7 calls this week for a past due account that I refuse to pay because John Blessing still won't get back to me because our yard waste pickups keep coming back as contaminated and with no explanation as to what was contaminated.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's why I was asking.
In that meeting, we decided we needed, for trash control, we were going to place more dumpsters around the lake and get more porta-potties and stuff like that. And I've volunteered in the past, so my email to Mike and John was, you know, you've been very gracious in donating some of this stuff in the past. We want to up it. We, you know, would happily take a donation, but totally understand if we need to. I'm a paying customer here and nothing. So that's somewhat concerning.
Last time Dave was able to get a hold of him fairly regularly.
With Mike?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was.
Yeah, if you don't hear back in a couple of days.
What's been a, well, when did we meet? Thursday?
Thursday.
Tuesday. No, Wednesday. That felt like Tuesday because Monday was a holiday. Yeah. So it's now been 5 days, and I emailed him not more.
I would call him again if I were you.
Yeah, shoot him an email, call him again, and then let us know if he's here.
Okay.
Keep us posted because we're having similar issues with waste management as a whole, and that is their past due billing department.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, so that's that. The other thing, there's a pretty good chance I'm not going to be here July meeting, so I'll say after much thought, I think the best thing for my family and whatever is to not put my name in the hat for city council moving forward. So anyway, I think the deadline for filing is this week.
Was June 1st.
Oh, never mind. So anyway, I did not throw my name in the hat. What would have been if I was? Boy, I could have said. I could have come.
No, there. Kathy did some research. There is a way if you did want to run, or we don't get anybody by 10. There is a way that we can
still get somebody in the seat.
Gotcha.
Michelle and I are researching the process for that.
Yeah. The filing fee had to be in June 1st, but then paperwork not until the 10th. And yeah, I think there's ways around that. So. Yeah, you can change your mind.
If you miss, he wants to.
This would be a good day to ask her first day of summer rec.
Real good day to ask her if she wants to take on the
I've shared that with Bill and told him I would happily be some sort of conduit or bridge or whatever on the dam stuff that they have cooking between that and the next person who fills that seat. So anyway, and then we'll start. My trigger for Mayor's Christmas tree is always after the 4th of July it's over with. So anyway, we'll work on that and hopefully be able to coordinate with Q Inc. and the clubhouse and do something bigger than we've ever done before.
Yeah. Sounds good. Is that it?
Yep.
All right. Thank you. Feel best?
Okay. The first item is are the traffic signs. And we were really excited. Of course, we've met with two gentlemen from the city of Shawnee who are volunteering to help us with our signage. And we were hoping by at least this meeting that we would have their findings as far as, you know, all the signs that we mm-hmm. have and what they're recommending and all of that. But I would promise that it has to be next meeting, I would think.
Oh, yeah. They sent us a preliminary findings report today.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, did you not see that one? Okay, yes. They sent us a preliminary findings report today, but it's not...
Yeah,
it's
all inclusive. I sent him a thing this morning.
Yes, and he responded to that one.
Okay. Yeah.
A preliminary one talking about just that there are multiple ones that it looks like can be removed.
Good. I
figured a few towards the end of their main area of concern was towards the bottom of Quivira Lane right before you get on holiday.
Yeah.
That there are keep right, keep right, keep left, all of a sudden signs that are
warning.
Very confusing.
Yep.
And so they are in the process of coming up with suggestions for that squiggly line one to replace the one that goes like this, things like that.
Yep.
And talking about how no parking signs on Ritter are not necessary unless we think there needs to be no parking signs on Ritter, which I personally do not.
Okay.
I can't see someone just... Pulling over to the side of the road on Renner and just parking, but who knows? He sent us a preliminary one, but it still sounded like there were a couple of kinks to work out.
Okay, then we've already mentioned that I'm meeting with Dean and Todd Wednesday of this week, and we're mainly focused on the city.
Mm-hmm.
The city, you know, the grounds that the city is responsible for and pay for. And then I'll bring you guys up to date on...
It's just me, by the way.
Oh, it's you.
It's not a swamp.
Okay, that's fine. And then
not
I can,
like I'm not, but...
And then I can bring you up to date in maybe a little bit more detail about our project out here that hopes that... Eventually, we'll end up with landscaping. So that brings me to the project. You guys probably remember last month. This is related to the parking lot reconfiguration project and the concrete terrace. That's all one project. And then the third, another related project is changing out the front of the City Hall building that really nice terrace area with overhang, and we can sit and meet out there, and it'll make everything look great. Well, I had an estimate, if you guys remember, last month from an architect who, the estimate seemed pretty high. It was $8,000 just to do kind of a look-see and a little bit, and then it was another up to $30,000 to $40,000 for them to go through all the engineering services and and do everything that they needed to do. And so we said, well, wait a minute, we need to move on and get some other estimates. So I think in your packet today, you have another estimate, and I put a page on top of it that kind of goes through the various phases and stuff and what I will eventually recommend here. And so basically, this company divided it into three phases. The first phase is feasibility study, and that is $4,000. And they would, well, first of all, we have no plans. There are no paper plans of this city hall that anybody can find. So we're basically starting, you know, with nothing. But the good news is that they have a service called Revy UBM. You ever heard of that? Revy UBM? Okay. Where they, it's some piece of software, whatever, that they can actually go into the building and kind of, you know, figure out the footprint and measurements and all of that. And then they can produce a 3D image of this building with measurements and all of that through that. So that's part of their $4,000. So they'll come, they'll visit the site, they'll review the concept that we were all presented with that Olson and Associates have put together as it relates to the structure of this building and all. They'll run and create these BIM images and come up with all the wall measurements and the whole nine yards. That's $4,000. Phase two is then they move on into, and that phase one also involves some engineers. So there's architecture and engineers in that. So we've got engineering work going on. Phase two is they're refining our design concept now that they've looked at the inside of the building and the structure and all that, see if that concept looks good, and then get further and further in the details of that concept and would actually put together documentations that would allow us to get some estimates on what the cost of this thing really would be. And so if you look at the front of mm-hmm. this, phase one study is $4,000. Phase two is $3,500, both of those with engineering. And then the $2,500 is the engineering. So phase one and two in total is $10,000. So Brady and I met a couple days ago, and we basically decided that, you know, we need to have a stopping off or a stepping off point. So we think we have to do phase one and we have to do phase two in order to decide whether or not this concept was a good idea or, you know, whether this whole thing is a good idea.
Or even if it'll work.
Yeah, if it'll work. And so, and then if all of that works, then we would go on to phase three of this, which are detailed construction documents, very detailed construction documents that we can send out, and, you know, they'd be all the plans. We would get all the detailed costs, and, you know, just like you would a normal engineer, whatever's required for building and all that.
Yeah, essentially the plans would be stamped, approved, ready to get, turn into whichever city you're working with for a building permit.
So, you know, what I think we should entertain tonight is basically we cannot go forward with this parking lot reconfiguration project until we know what we're going to do eventually with the roof line of this building and the pillars and all, what are they required on this concrete plaza. So we're kind of stuck right now until we do this. And so I was wanting to, let's see, I have a motion.
Before you make a motion, it says when you go, or if we decide to proceed with phase three, it says $7,000, but down below it says $35,000 for phase three. Am I missing something there?
No, it's okay. So phase three construction documents are $3,500.
Uh-huh.
Phase three engineering services are $3,500. That's $7,000.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, they kind of priced this between the architects and the engineers.
Okay. So essentially, it's kind of like, you know, we decided to spend money to look at the spillway on the east side.
And it might not work, but we agreed as a council to take that step and spend some money to see if it works. There's a chance it might not work, and then we're back to the Westville way. I think what Gail's saying is, you know, if we want to proceed with the front facade and the whole, you know, what did Hugh Aiken, the foundation, what did you guys call it, the front entrance gateway project, or and then eventually get the foundation on board, it sounds like this would be the next step. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because we could have our concrete terrace, you know, with the handicap ramp and all of that, and be able to enter in both doors, you know, from the ramp. We could do all of that, but if we don't know what we're going to eventually do with the rest of the building, a lot of that could just be
torn out,
throw away. And so I think we all, you know, we paid Olson and Associates to do this initial concept and the parking lot and all. So this is just, you know, we need to go forward with this or something similar to that, mm-hmm. to, you know, continue on that we want to have a better front of this building.
Yeah. Budget-wise, what kind of money do we have and what would that be under?
Well, I was looking at repair and maintenance for building. We've only spent $4,000 of the $15,000.
Does that include the AC?
It doesn't.
Okay.
So that would have to come out of that, and then you have whatever is left after that.
And that was what, $2,900 about three? Yeah. Okay. So call it $3,000.
About $7,000 out of that one, and then. I don't know about the other three, but you can always do a reserve vote. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, could some of this come out of our reserve for beautification?
Yep.
The $94,000 or whatever it is.
But whenever you spend anything out of reserve, you just have to do a vote to agree to spend it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Totally could.
So does anyone have questions?
I think it looks great. It makes sense to me. The numbers seem reasonable.
So then you said at the end of phase one and phase two, we would end up with essentially like construction-ready documents?
No, that's construction-ready documents.
Yeah.
Phase three. Phase two, we would have enough detailed documents that would help us understand what the cost would be and to find our funding.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
Funding.
And do you have this? Do you want to email it to you?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I was just confused about. Yeah, now that makes sense.
Okay, so then if anyone doesn't have any questions, then I would like to propose that the council accept a proposal from AMI-AI Architecture for architectural design and structure engineering services related to the Lake Rivera City Hall entrance facade addition and renovation in an amount not to exceed $10,000, subject to legal review of a related agreement by the city attorney and authorize the mayor to sign such agreement. So, and Michelle and I had a discussion today that's kind of similar to the McClure.
Mm-hmm. The agreement,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, I will second that.
Okay, we have a motion.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I just say we have a motion, and John has seconded. Any discussion?
I just had discussion as to whether she need to amend her motion to say $3,000 of which will come out of reserve funds, or does that need to be a completely separate?
Okay.
Yep, just wanted to make sure we kind of have that separate.
Yeah.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Those opposed? Okay. Motion passes.
Yeah.
So does she need to do the?
Yep.
So she did.
They should have $7,000, which to it would be able to come out of our regular budget, but there would need to be a motion that the remaining amount would need to be spent out of the reserve funds associated with beautification.
Okay. Yes. So I make a motion. I'm making a motion.
that for the AMAI architectural phase one, phase two activities that we had approved, that we now approve $3,000 to be taken out of reserve funds that the city has for 2021.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion, we have a second. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion passes.
That's all I have.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right. I actually don't have much. I was going to provide some 4th of July updates, but I don't feel I need to. We still have some gas station stuff that we're dealing with, but nothing too exciting to talk about now. So let's move on to old business. 4th of July update from John Christie. Anything else to add there? Looks like we got the AMAI estimate, so nothing there. So we can move on to budget discussion.
Dun, dun, dun. And there goes OJ. I thought we were going to be like,
that's taken, OJ.
OJ,
if I sleep right now, I would.
So
I don't let you.
Thanks, OJ.
See you.
We can absolutely take a
2-minute. It's been requested
to take a 2-minute
break
beforehand.
Perfect.
Wonderful. Do we need a motion or anything?
Motion for a
2-minute
break.
Got a motion? Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion. Those in favor?
Aye.
Greg John.
Opposed? All right.
Greg John, you name.
Motion passed.
She's like, let me go to the bathroom.
Poor Kathy.
Yeah.
I know, and I maybe want to ask.
I hate hearing this.
You're like,
I see it in your face.
He's like, okay, so did that part make sense about him needing someone's name attached to it? Okay.
It makes me a little crazy for you because I'm like,
it makes me crazy for me, but yeah.
It's like it's got zero on there.
It does say zero. He also was like, make sure you don't check the box that says I will give a personal guarantee.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
You're like, are you kidding me?
But
what also drives me crazy is like, oh, well, we just took that part out of that 3-page agreement since we never charge anybody for early termination. I'm like, oh, my gosh. If your lawyers knew you were doing it this way, they would go insane.
There's a lot of things that have occurred at the station I don't know how anything is legal.
Seriously.
They all are in with each other.
Right. They're all doing it. Right.
I mean, I can't.
It's just how we do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I finally heard back from the other company today.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
A week later.
Uh-huh. He called and he goes, I sent you that contract. Did you get it? I said, no. Did you get my 5 voicemails saying I didn't get it? He goes, oh, yeah, that's what I was calling you back. Sorry, I wasn't feeling very good the past week. I'm like,
oh, my gosh.
Okay, well, guess I'm glad we didn't go with you. And his contract was even more confusing.
Oh, my gosh.
Than the other one. And his contract, they charged a upfront flat fee before you even got started.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, you saw that.
Yeah.
That's not good. Agreement.
Yeah, I was like,
That didn't work out.
That made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
But
like you said, in case you get a situation where you're trying to get a hold of them and get them here for a week.
That's, I'm like, that enough was.
Yeah.
Alone with enough to come and turn me off. Yeah, you're coming to me. And then the way he acted today. Did you get the contract I sent? No. Did you get the 5 points?
Yes.
I didn't get the contract.
Yeah, that's not good.
To the speeding in the community, I entered 2025.
You what?
It's just today. Seriously? Yeah, no, so it's been well noted.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
We were at my dad's on Saturday, and there was someone who was probably going 70.
Oh my God!
Oh no, I've never seen anything like that.
Wow!
Get back. Check out.
Did Aaron leave?
Maybe.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny.
Here she comes.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the budget.
Aaron, we thought you took off.
Yeah.
Was OJ?
I told OJ.
All right, so we need a motion to resume the meeting. All right, I call the meeting back to order. Budget.
Okay. All right, so we'll go back to this document again because I did not do my homework and still grab an Annie in, but I figured we could all use a little bit of a recap.
Oh, you guys are in for a treat.
Anyway. You're
going to love it.
There you go.
Hey. No respect for
the Okay, so the state of Kansas and collective treasurer has changed.
Sorry, this is the mill how-to?
This is the mill how-to.
There will be a quiz after.
I hope not, because I don't think I would pass. Kansas has decided to change how they do their budget. I've been treasurer now 9 years, and I've done it 3 completely different ways, so why not? Everything is the same as far as how we calculate a mill. Remember, everything that we do budget-wise is based off of us getting to what we want our mill levy to be set at. That relates to the formula that you see at the top of this, how to calculate a mill. I think everyone is good on this page, but if there are any questions, let me know. Now, for this year. So in the past, we've always worked with keeping our mill pretty much the same, but being able to capture more money because property values have gone up. So we've been at 17.228 forever and a day, which gives us an escalating number as long as property values are going up. So for house X, your mill rate is staying the same, but since your house is valued a little bit more, then you're paying a little bit more in property taxes. Well, people thought that was too confusing to understand, apparently. And so now we went back to this bill called the Truth in Taxation Bill, which I told them last time was the fastest bill to ever get through the House, Senate, and signed by the governor. So now we have this thing called a revenue neutral rate. So we cannot keep our mill the same unless we want to be able to charge higher taxes. Our revenue neutral rate that we have to stick to, the county will give it to us on June 15th. That is the rate that for homeowner A, they would pay the exact same property taxes that they paid the year before, even though their house has gone up in value. So we are not allowed to exceed that.
They automatically lower the bill for us if property values go up.
Yep. So what they're saying is back in last year at this time, if we wanted to go above our mill,
we could go above our mill up through the CPI with some of those exceptions that were in there, like public safety, police, fire, all of that. If we wanted to exceed that by even more, which we as a city never did, not very many in Kansas did. I think they had six throughout the 3 years that that was a process. We had to put it to a vote of the citizens. With the revenue neutral rate, if we want to exceed it, this is the only way they did make it a little bit easier, which it sounds like, not to influence you, but after polling, now I've done multiple classes on this throughout the entire state of Kansas, most people sound like they want to at least explore going above this revenue neutral rate. Mm-hmm. When we do our budget hearing, which would now be in September instead of August, if we decided to go above the revenue neutral rate, we would host two different open meetings during that. We would host the first one being a council discussion. So Brady would call the meeting to order, we'd do the pledge. Sit down, however, whatever order we wanted to do it in, whenever it gets time to be budget discussion, you would open up the public hearing for exceeding the revenue neutral rate, have a discussion about why or why not that would be. If you decided, yes, we would like to exceed it, you would vote after hearing if there was public comment. Mm-hmm. You would then close that. Then you would open up another hearing to discuss the budget that we had already gone over that exceeded it. And we would put out some type of statement saying, since we decided to go above this revenue neutral rate, now we can talk about that this budget that we set can be voted on. Open it up for public discussion again, vote on it, close it, go back to council.
Do you anticipate people actually showing up for that?
The only reason I anticipate people showing up for it, because it sounds so bad. It, to me, the way that they made this all look, it sounds like we are just sticking it to the citizens, not respecting, oh, the money that you gave us last year, that's not enough, even though everything is more expensive.
Yeah.
So that's my only, just because it's new and people don't understand.
And when we publish that meeting info, how do we
it's a great question. It's in our local paper. I mean, last year we did a special edition of the Quivirin. We technically, people are expecting it in black boxes, I would think, only because that's the way it's always been done. But technically, we don't have to.
Legal record.
Because our local paper is the legal record.
We could just use, if we wanted to, we could just use the legal record.
Correct.
Absolutely.
They did recommend posting it on your website as well. But I still don't know how many people were reaching through both of those.
Right.
And I would rather this not turn into like a horsepower discussion where people felt like trying to pull the wool over their face. So,
are you saying we would not be using the
we Quivirin? Could do, I mean, there is no Quivirin.
Well, but, so.
I got Liana to do a special edition last year.
And I don't think it would qualify though, since it's not being published regularly.
No.
I don't think, even though our code still says the Quivirin, I don't think under state law it would qualify.
So that's up to everyone. If we would decide to do a black box flyer, we could do that. But then that would be in addition to the only requirement now is that it is posted in whatever the city does in the paper, which for us would be the legal record.
Right.
Okay.
Is the what paper?
The legal record. It's
what's called the legal record.
I'm actually a subscriber of it.
There you go.
I'm pretty certain Greg looks at that thing all the time.
So that's a whole other side discussion where whatever we do, we would need to decide how we are conveying this.
Well, and you may want to think, too, what you do this year, unless the state changes what they require. What you do this year, you may want to continue to do moving forward. Because, again, you don't want people to be accusing the city of doing things one way one year and not another year because, oh, what are you trying to cover up or what are you trying to show? You know, it's just consistency is important if you're going above and beyond the legal requirements.
Oh, well, don't worry. This is the, this year or this year and next year? That's another one of the ones. The mailer. So this is the only year of doing the revenue neutral rate that we have to notify the county clerk if we are deciding to host a hearing. The county clerk will not be mailing anything out to citizens. Starting next year, the county clerk will be mailing all of our citizens something that says we're exceeding the revenue neutral rate.
Oh, my God.
It is that the state is paying the counties for that in for next year and the year after. And then if we decide to do that after that, we will be doing it at our own expense, where we will have to reimburse the county clerk. I mean, because why not add even more to it?
So it's an unfunded mandate after 2 years? So the city has to, if the city chooses to go above the rate, then we have to do the mailer. Or the county has to do the mailer, and we have to reimburse them.
Starting in 2024, for the 2025 budget.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
To add more to this, like I said, I had to go back to one of my multiple pages of notes from the one I went to last week.
And Erin, did you say at the beginning that most cities are pursuing this going above and beyond? Did you make that statement?
So a lot of people are pursuing it, because let me tell you about the other part of it, which is even more confusing. But we get June 15th, when we get this revenue neutral rate, that'll tell us it's, my guess is that it's going to be like 16.8 mils, as opposed to like the 17. Like I said, just my guess, but knowing the 3.5-ish% that we've gained in property value, that's where I calculated the millage to be. It will also give us our assessed valuation for our city. Now, that doesn't take into account anyone who is doing any type of when people fight to get their property value changed. That doesn't take that into account. So even if we decided we don't want to exceed the revenue neutral rate, we're going to stick to this 16. The problem is property valuations fluctuate between June and October. Ours usually aren't crazy amounts of change, but they do fluctuate. The problem is if we say we're not going to exceed the revenue neutral rate and we're going to make our budget fit with that, and then our valuation comes out in October, and for some reason, it turns out to be significantly lower, we are breaking the law, because we're already exceeding the revenue neutral rate. Because that would then change our mill to an even lower number. Does that make sense?
Oh,
it's really convoluted.
No, it's.
So they said if for some reason you are not wanting to exceed the revenue neutral rate, that as a city, we would then need to reach out to our county clerk, which in our case would be our county clerks, to tell them, please help us with our evaluation to make sure that it stays in line with where this revenue neutral rate is.
So then you're saying just accept the fact that we're going to exceed it, and then all we have to do is hold a public hearing and...
That's up to you guys.
The pros and the cons.
I would say reach out to other cities, kind of pull and see what people are doing. But from all of the things I've been on, even the lady who works in municipal services for the state of Kansas was like, be really careful if you don't exceed it, because you still might exceed it on accident. That's where it's way too complicated. Truth in taxation, remember?
So if you do exceed it, we break the law.
We would be responsible for refunding every single household the amount that exceeds the amount in taxes that they paid from the prior year to the next year.
So how does the city make it? How does the city... I just feel broke.
No, they will. I mean, that's, I don't know what they think is going to happen.
Sounds kind of like a joke.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I guess the federal government
pretty much
takes over.
My take on it from last month, and I don't think it's changed, is, I mean, I feel like we're in a tough spot, because I feel like as a council, and Brady and Gail, you know, we've always taken kind of pride in keeping the mill levy the same, and Aaron very appropriately pointed out, we have had the winds of property appreciation at our backs. But, you know, so we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, because otherwise we can go into this kind of Pandora's box of, well, we're going to go with the revenue neutral rate of 16, but then, oh, someone with a $2 million house gets their house reassessed for $1 million, and now we're over, blah, 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 blah. Or we raise the bill levy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm extremely conflicted, because I mean, only 10% of the people are going to pay attention, and only
right.
Correct.
5% of those 10% are going to even see this all the way through. But, you know, there's some, the lawmakers put us in a tough spot that we have to raise the mill levy to break even. And so I think as a council, we've got to decide, do we say, you know, this is what time it is, we're going to raise the mill levy, and let's do that, and just, and knowing that there's a very reasonable chance.
Well, no, even if you want to keep the mill levy the same.
Yeah, right.
Or to keep the mill levy the same.
There's nothing that says you have to raise the mill levy.
Well, I guess that's true. We have to. Yeah.
If you are not planning on lowering the mill levy.
But did you ever find out, because my biggest question is, what happens when 2008 happens again, and property values start to, is the state going to force?
No, because then they keep saying, like, oh yeah, then you can, your revenue neutral rate will be a lot higher. So say we drop it and we continue dropping it, and all of a sudden the 2008 happens and we have a 15 point something mil. Well, yeah, let's go right back up to 17. But then, it's going to be the same thing over and over again, to me.
Yeah, it's, so I don't know. I mean, if I was a party of one casting a vote, would be to go through the motions to keep the mill levy at the 17.2 and black box, you know, it's a double-edged sword, but send a letter from the Lake Cobra City Council that is, and this is what I spend about half my time doing, is nuancing communication. So I'm
correct.
I am happy to, you know, be the one to nuance it. And I hate to use the term nuance. That's got negative connotations. But, I mean, basically it means, in my mind, that letter would read, you know, dear citizens, the state of Kansas, you know, enacted new legislation. As a result, the format for our budgeting process, has to be changed to meet state code, and we would love for you to be a part of that process. There'll be several meetings you have the opportunity to join, and our intent is to go through the motions to keep the mill levy the same and, you know, pass the budget on this meeting.
Yeah.
I
that sounded really good.
And you're correct. It's not the nuanced, but it's more of how to explain this to people.
Right.
I told all of them last time, Greg and Annie, that I spent 15 minutes explaining this to my husband, who knows nothing about budgeting, but I was like, does that make sense to you? He's like, no, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I understand it, but it doesn't make sense as to why.
Right.
I'm like, the why I can't explain to you, but
it's almost like a
pieces of it.
Correspondence. I mean, I think most people, when they get the mill sheet in there,
no one looks at anything except for the number at the bottom.
Right, and then their eyes roll back in their head. So I mean, it's almost like that goes on top, letter goes below it.
Yep.
And you know, second page, we're on the back side, and you know,
only thing I ever get questions about is why that number looks so much bigger than the ones next to it. Because remember, the prior year and the current year actuals and the future one includes reserves.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I ever have gotten questions about. But
yeah.
So, but again, I'm asking, not telling, but that's, you asked my opinion, that's my opinion.
No, I remember you kind of said a similar thing last month. And that's kind of the way I was thinking. I don't have a vote in this. However, if I did, I think that sounds like the best way.
No decisions have to be made tonight. At the July meeting, I'll have the number, what our revenue neutral rate is. Right. I'll be able to tell you what that will get us.
Could you send us an email sometime after you get it, just to kind of give us a heads up of what this means? And
we're required to have it from county clerks by June 15th. Right. So, more than happy to do that.
Okay.
If we choose not to exceed it, budget timeline is as normal.
Right.
We go through the numbers tonight. We go through the numbers in July and finalize them. We publish it in the paper, and most likely in a black box, I would think. We host the open hearing and budget hearing in August. It gets approved. We send it to the state or to the counties. If we do exceed the revenue neutral rate, and this is all on that page 2 of the how-to mill, everything essentially moves back a month. So we would be deciding at our next meeting for sure if we are exceeding it or not, because we do have to let both county clerks know by July 20th. But then the hearing has to be held between August 20th and September 20th. So then instead of being our August meeting for the hearing, it would be our September meeting. And then it's due to the county clerk by the end of September as opposed to the end of August.
But then the good news about this year,
yes,
if I understood you correctly, is we are in control of our communication this year.
Yes.
And so it's how we deal with it and how upfront we are in this whole thing. But the next year, the state or whoever is sending out the you have exceeded, and it's going to alarm everybody.
Yep. So this year, publication still needs to happen. No matter what we do. So no matter what, we'll publish in the legal record. Now, whether that is just our budget, here it is, or whether that is, here is our budget with a blurb at the top that says, at the same time that we're hosting our budget hearing, we will also be hosting a revenue neutral hearing. They wrote it out a lot better than I did. And publishing on our website. But for this year, and letting the clerk know, but for this year, that is all that is required to occur. Starting next year and for the next 2 years, they'll send out the mailer at the state's expense. And then starting the year after that, the mailer will be at our expense. But yes. Does that answer your?
And then we can still communicate to our people next year that you're going to be receiving this, and it'll look sort of bad news.
If we do it next year, then I would highly encourage a black box flyer to come out before they receive the mailer.
Yeah.
And they have not decided whether we will be receiving a copy of what the mailer would look like. I'm hoping that we will, so that once again we can, and it's not even spinning it, educate more on what this may, you will be receiving this mailer. Here is our reasoning behind it. If you don't agree, come to me.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Fred, wake up.
Yeah, you can wake up.
Eyes glazed over.
Hey, I tried to be quick. Like I said, many seminars, and I still don't understand. They did not announce for sure, but they do believe most likely the ARPA funds that I referred to earlier will be considered an exempt category from this.
The what funds?
The American Rescue Plan funds.
Oh.
They do not think, because we will have to show them in our budget, but they will not be ones that we are
counting,
punished for receiving.
Okay.
That's not official yet. just what they're saying. So we'll see. All right.
Budget stuff.
Okay. So yeah, like I said, think about it as you go through tonight. I'll send out an updated document later this week of these numbers. I'll send out what the number comes out June 15th. July, we need to make a decision if we are exceeding or not exceeding. Okay? No decision needed to be made tonight.
Correct.
Come up with 5 billion questions. I can probably answer 5 of them.
Yeah.
But there's smarter people than I who also don't understand this, but may be able to answer the other remaining ones.
I'm going to have to carry like a cheat sheet in my pocket.
Exactly.
On the golf course, somebody stops me and asks me, hang on.
Hold on.
Just
yeah.
Ready to go. Ask Aaron.
Yeah.
No, it's called truth. It's the truth. I mean, come on.
Yep.
I just say it falls under QE.
Exactly. It's all QE's fault.
We are being recorded, so let's move on to budget.
Okay. Ad valorem numbers, looking at page 104 of the budget worksheet. Ad valorem numbers, that is what pops out when we decide on our mill number, so that's why that's a blank. We are not allowed to include delinquent, even though we always receive some. The motor vehicle numbers, this is a change from last time. These are actual numbers from the county, because those we have to receive by June 1st. So that 61,000 and the 3,200 under Johnson and Wyandotte are actuals. Everyone have that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dogs in building, I'm assuming Kathy and Fred were not expecting the kind of changes?
Nope.
Okay. We used to be really high on our dog number. Do you think we need to make it a little more true to form?
So from this year and last year, they're pretty consistent, but from 2019, down by about 100.
That's so weird.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
So... I am suggesting that we lower that to 4,000 just to make it a little more reasonable is the number I plan on plugging in there. And then we'll stick with the 26.
That worked for me.
I didn't charge hundreds of dollars of late fees. That could be part of it, but
I like the way that you did things this year.
Well, and I still think it was part COVID a little bit still. I mean, a little grace period.
I'm ready to go next year.
Yeah, great.
Wow.
No,
she had that look in her
eyes. Franchise fee numbers, I was waiting for one more month, and I'll fill those in next month for you. Court fines, I am totally open to lowering it again, or if the summer is normally when that picks up, so we might have a better idea
Is it really going to pick up that much?
Well, if you notice, we weren't that far off from it in 2020, and that was with not hosting for a few months. So, you never know. Service station rent is the number, and that will be changing to service station income. That is the number that I received from Dave for his estimate for what we will be getting from the station.
Profit.
Yes. Well,
or just the revenue.
That's just the revenue side, and then there's another really, really high number he gave me for expenses. We'll get to that. alcohol is the actual number from the league. That's another update from last time. I'll be throwing in the interest income number by next month. And then Johnson County Highway and Wyandotte County Highway are the actual numbers. And then alcohol again is the actual number. Any revenue questions or changes?
This is our alcohol that we consume?
So this is our percentage of it.
Oh.
But if it originates at the clubhouse, we do within our city limits, then we do get a higher amount. Based off population for both counties, but we do get a higher amount. So when you drink at the clubhouse.
So do we need to do that, or
after this year's budget? I probably. Any other revenue?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. I mean, I don't see anything else. All right. I tried to write a description for everything, so I'm just going to go, these are the 501s. So if everyone just kind of wants to review those, and if there's any changes you see that you expect, let me know.
So if their wages are going up and their payroll taxes stay the same?
Our payroll taxes, we have been right on the mark lately. So I'm not expecting after wages going up from each year. You'll see wages have gone up each year and payroll taxes have gone down some of the time. A lot of that has to do with prior employees and overtime hours that were inputted. But
well, if the unemployment rate's dropping, then
is the negative 19,000 supplies after the COVID?
Yes. That was from the yeah, the CARES Act funding that we got last year from the county. Yep. Any 501 questions? Let me know if I'm going too fast.
Repair and maintenance or equipment replacement?
So I didn't put anything under equipment replacement. I couldn't think of anything, and I think I talked to Kathy about it, maybe not,
Fred,
that we needed on the city side.
Oh, you've got your own. Never mind.
Yeah, that's just on the city side.
Yeah.
I mean, does court software?
That would be in the court one.
Okay.
Yeah.
But equipment, I can't think of anything.
Okay. Any other 501s?
Not for me.
Okay. 502 is same. Do you have numbers on court software?
Roughly.
Of what 2022 would cost?
Roughly. Because I'm still, I have two more demos to, but
awesome.
I am keeping us. It's more the annual fee. You know, there's the upfront cost of purchasing
yes.
the software and licenses and things like that. But then where we've not had an annual fee with this software, you just will going forward to have a reputable
yep.
software. But that will include support.
Support. Okay, perfect. If you want to send me those, I'll just a rough estimate.
So we'll have that next month probably?
Yep.
Okay.
$1,200 to $1,500 a month in the annual fee support. So I can, yeah, I don't want to throw a number out there on
yeah.
the actual purchase of the software because I still am doing two more demos. Okay.
Yep. If you want to ballpark it before
yep.
the July meeting. Yep. I'll put your name on that one. Other than that, any other questions on court?
It looks like everything stays the same, but.
Yeah, a couple of them I changed, but not very many.
Well, yeah.
I changed since our court revenue has gone down a little bit.
Yeah.
Fees haven't been as high, things like that. So if anyone ever wants a description for any of those fees, that's my little chicken scratch notes. All right, then 503s. So I didn't know, since we don't know the plan for the outside,
mm-hmm.
and we've replaced pretty much everything on the inside as far as ACs and heaters and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I did lower repair and maintenance billing from 15 back down to 10. But if we wanted to bump that up, I didn't think
that. I mean, I don't know what we would.
But I figured if we did the outside, then it would be more of a reserve project, just to not put a timeline on it.
And you think
it's just the roof or the roof?
Yeah, that's what I would.
But the roof itself is still fairly new, just at least so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
unless something were to come up when they did all their examination
yeah.
or whatever of this building.
Right.
Still need gutters.
Because we could always leave it at 15. Not a huge.
Can't do anything big.
Difference.
I can't either.
Once we get the nice new, if we do, even now, look at it, who takes care of the front of dirt and dust and cotton that goes off the, you know, it just doesn't, it doesn't.
You mean who cares for all of this out here?
Yeah.
Q Inc.
Yeah. They get charged for it.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But we don't, that's the problem right now.
I think that's
And that's a discussion Steve and Gail will have to have if it does make more sense.
We're at the bottom of the totem pole right,
right
now.
Right, exactly.
For sure.
Some of the stuff Alex could probably do. Yeah.
Or we just hire our own.
Or we just
but
hire
then,
our own.
And then just looking at the rates and stuff, probably we would be paying more.
Yeah. So I'm guessing.
So I'll leave that at 10 unless something someone
if I think of something or Fred thinks of something on the building.
Okay, everyone gonna go to page 3? Halfway. Not much else I wanted to note during this one. Most of them stayed the same. It did lower mayor since there's no party. That's what it normally is during non-event years. Sorry, Brady. I did keep it at 2,500 though because it is a police appreciation party year.
Oh, good.
Yeah, instead of back down to 1,500. Other than that, I think everything else is almost the same. A little bit of change till you get legal and audit. Yeah, I think that's it for that one. Any 503 questions? Moving on to 505s. Trash, I did the normal 3%, especially since you won't get back to me. Here is where it falls into service station. Dave estimated 50 for that number, and that includes a lot of getting the station to look the...
Oh, it's like the new metal roof, the painting.
Yes.
The...
Yes.
So our income is 30... Going to be 34, and the costs are going to be 50.
That was Dave's estimate. But like I said, it doesn't have to be that way. I personally would rather have a break-even type of year, and maybe put some of the enhancements off until the second full year.
Especially with how much money we put in, just with.
Thank you.
Everything.
Yeah.
Where's your line item for the fuel cost?
That falls into that as well.
Into the 50
You're
thousand.
You're going to spend more than 50 grand
on fuel. No. But it evens out with what we make from it.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
So revenue isn't total revenue.
That,
right.
That's your profit.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, oh.
Is what he's thinking. On the fuel cost side.
Right.
Yeah, I think those two need to align, even if just from an optics standpoint. It's why did we...
Kind of what I was hoping for. I was very happy that he sent me the numbers as quickly as I asked for them, but...
So you're adding a new line for actual fuel costs.
Right,
because we're running a company now.
Yes.
That's
what I'm doing. Is he going to need, like, supplies, like paper?
There's the windshield brushes, that type of stuff. There is minor.
And then compute, don't we have?
The paper.
I mean, we've upgraded all that stuff already.
All that
computer-wise.
Yeah.
Not telling you what to do, but what's your thought about making its own different 50 whole?
Yeah, then you could break it all down.
Department or division.
I don't think I would do that, but I would make it like the way we have to do, like I put it all in this budget worksheet, but then the way we submit it to the state, we have different funds that things come out of. Most things come out of the general fund, but then we have a road fund, which amassed the money, which allowed Greg to do the bigger project. And then we have the parks fund, because half of our alcohol has to be spent on the parks fund specifically. So then I was thinking of making an actual gas station fund that would have the different things broken down by.
I mean, there's no doubt we could spend $50,000 out there next year easy, making it look pretty. But it's going to be our first full year.
I would rather do that once it was actually making something or at least.
And I think Dave would be okay with that, and he'll be here at the next meeting if he wants to.
So going back to the 404 number.
Yeah.
Where we said, and I wrote in the word income, 34,000 from Dave
That's credit card money that's deposited into our account after fuel purchasing cost.
After fuel purchasing cost.
Yep.
Okay, that's the net.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, you probably said that before.
No, I don't think I did. Sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's the $3 a gallon minus the cost.
Yes.
And that gives us $34,000.
Yep.
Okay. That sounds better.
Okay, so I switched that to 35. Okay. Fred will be sending me his numbers during the month of June.
Sure.
Okay, thanks. I filled in some of those, but he will be filling in the rest. Okay, last page. For fire department, we still have to do the interlocal medical, so I kept that. I did contract
response. Can I stop you for a second?
Oh, yep, sorry.
On the dam maintenance.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I skipped that one. I kept it at 15, even though it's not an inspection, but I didn't know if there were all sorts of agreements that could come out of that, or if we did foresights.
Well, that's, that's kind of what I'm wondering.
Out of that.
If, I mean, it just feels to me like there's going to be studies and stuff that is going to happen as this stuff evolves. And I know there'll be probably different budget categories in which to pull it from, but.
You're thinking to increase it?
Yeah, certainly not to decrease, but.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to 20 or do you want something higher?
I mean, I was thinking 20.
Okay.
And then that, to the extent there's a, find out we have the, northeastern spotted weasel pulled up in the dam and need to, build it a sanctuary or something.
All people make for that.
We'll
oh, God, don't tell my dad that. No. Okay. Yes, I made that change.
Okay.
Sorry for taking that one. Yeah, remember, that is just the category for what will be spent in 2022 on the dam itself or anything related to it outside of
the project.
A project.
Right. Well, and technically, we still haven't done the. We went from 10 to 15 to do the riprap.
Right. And we still haven't done it because we've had so many other things come up.
But at this point, I think that's totally tabled because if all this other stuff goes through, then there's probably.
Yeah, I think we'll wait on that.
Agreed.
But my suspicion is the cost of the riprap is probably double what it would have been.
No, I think that's a great idea, especially because I would not be surprised if something comes out of the inspection report as well. So if we don't have enough to fix it this year, then that would give us more room to fix it next year. Okay. Fire, like I said, interlocal is the same. Contracted response. I did a 3% increase, even though they really have never done that to us.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what Chinese are doing.
Yeah.
Especially with them exceeding, if they're going to exceed the revenue neutral. So they keep throwing out discussions of another fire station.
Really?
Even the last time you and I met, I'm out in Western Shawnee, but would also play into the cost that we would pay. So, that's why that is. The sewer is the actual number from Johns County Wastewater, including interest and principal. I think we only have like 4 more years left, which is really exciting.
That's crazy.
Road repair. Sorry, Greg, I moved it back down to 20, unless for some reason I typed in the numbers and it comes up with that happy little 90 again in its own fund. I'm guessing it's not going to. Fireworks kept at 20. And then all of the reserve funds will be dependent on what we do with the revenue neutral rate.
I'm going back to roads. Mm-hmm. Would that include guardrails?
You could do that in roads. You could also do that out of like a reserve fund as well.
Okay. I'm just thinking about, remember that night that Paul Welcome was here? That was one of the items that he brought up. Some of the guardrails down here, but not a big deal. No.
Yeah.
But other than that, we got Clear Lane done.
Yeah, so really 20 back, because there's nothing wrong with Rimmer, right?
No.
Because it was done.
That was recently done.
Yep. And but we do have potholes and issues.
I've always kept it at 20 because I mean after the weather we had in February and then having to take care of potholes afterwards, you never know what.
Yeah, keep it at 20 and then we'll think about it.
And the other thought too is if this ends up getting done
next
year, I know my tibia.
Oh yeah.
I have heard from a few people
the bricked entrance.
Do the LQ entrance or really make that a pronounced entrance.
Fancy entrance.
Along with the gateway entrance project, people.
If there's anything along with the front entrance.
Strip
and
of brick,
that's in the original.
Well, I know the foundation, they expressed interest in that, if I recall correctly, weird. I don't remember the particulars, but aren't there weird property lines down there where we have a little bit and the QE cuts out and that goes back to the.
Yes.
So, anyway. I was just throwing that out there that if all this gets disrupted, that might be a good time to.
Where would be trimming back all the growth? So it seems we could almost start losing Quivira.
That's what this part of the discussion with Dean is going to be.
Correct. I mean, it should have never gotten to that point way back.
And they were mowing, with an actual mower, they were mowing the hills, the hillside that's been totally overgrown. All the money we spent doing that.
And our bills from them have not changed is the part that I would say to stick to during your meeting with Dean.
Oh, yeah.
The work that they complete has gone down. Our amount we pay has not.
And all of the, you don't even see the stones anymore that the walls.
Oh, they're kind of bluff looking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And nothing is being trimmed.
No.
Nothing.
That supposedly is part of our agreement with them, but.
They stopped doing that,
Fred,
a year ago. What is this?
Is
it an animal?
He's
sounds like a large snake.
Is it? What is it?
You're just a teeny tiny spider.
Took me a while.
Fred, get the taser out.
I thought you were done.
Fred knows.
Spiders and mice.
Sorry.
There's a mouse on
there. Hey, Aaron, what is that? There's a equipment reserve fund for police car for 30.
I didn't know if this was a police car buying year.
But I would suggest that we start saving for it.
So we could put 15 in it, and then if they wanted to buy in 2023, we could have the other 15.
And we'll definitely need new tires, right?
30,000. Yeah, but that's some regular equipment.
Okay.
So
does that make sense to me?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're saying that can go down?
I'm assuming it probably could. I thank you for pointing that out. I couldn't remember if next year was, or if we have one more year.
We'll have maybe more than that.
Well,
with
two cars.
Well, that, and with this being the hybrid, the motor isn't seeing the wear and tear that
I would put it at. We'll change it to 10. So we're starting to move money away.
Fred's
go to 20.
Because if we get a 2 to 3 year savings, by the time that rolls around, the cost of the cars will be a lot more, and a lot of the equipment that was donated will not be available for donation, because I don't have anything, unless I get lucky and score some more good stuff.
That sounds
good point.
So bad.
It's a good point.
I have a side business doing that.
I know that.
That's a good point.
If anyone does not know, you have a side business.
A flyer.
Hey, one other question on the publication.
Yes.
Is that for the, used to be the Quivirin?
So it is part of the Quivirin, but then it's also whenever there's anything that comes through on the building permit side. That needs to be published. It's still published in the Belafa News, and some things are still published for ordinances in the Daily Ledger, the legal record.
I always call that thing the wrong thing.
I just thought it was
a morning newspaper.
That's just the Greg Freed paper is what I will continually refer to it as.
You thought it was higher than
well,
that?
Well, did we used to pay like $300 in addition for the mayor's report or something?
No, we just paid for ours. Were usually pretty standard.
I thought it was $400 a month.
That's, yeah.
I thought it was 200, and then with Mike, we bumped it to 4.
Yes, I think that's correct.
That sounds right.
Ours was much smaller than Gillings.
Okay.
Yeah. But we also published much less.
Yeah.
Okay, so next month.
Good.
Let me know. If you have questions, let me know.
And so we really, we can't do a lot of anything new, anything big. I mean, we have to, like when we do the project out here in the parking lot and whatever we do, we'll have to get funding for. Otherwise, we have no allowance in here to do. I mean, the only thing we have really is the $93,000 for streetscape road improvements. We're not, you know, to improve things.
Unless we cut back in other areas. We have the 93 and the 54 and the 2500. Well, and the 400,000.
So we don't have any, like, projects.
Yeah, we have no projects. Right.
Except we're just maintaining.
Because the van would, yeah. Or the dam would probably be bonded.
I would assume so. So I think the 400 that's in spillway would probably not go towards paying for the spillway.
Oh, and you, like could,
said,
and you could move
those are just
around.
Yeah, none of these are stuck where they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. But,
yeah, I guess my comment on that whole bond project, I just think it's going to be bigger than you think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally agree.
The cost of this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cost of
the
bond? No, the cost of the project.
Yeah.
The cost
of
via
a
bond.
Yes. Totally
agree. And we were approved for $2 million or $4 million?
Four. Easily.
$4 million bond?
Uh-huh.
And that was just one person that they reached out to and talked to.
That day that I met with. Yeah.
But yeah.
Without need for a vote.
It's going to be expensive.
Like any of the above.
Not 500,000.
We need a charter.
It's going to be 500,000. Like,
we need a charter.
Oh,
yeah.
Work
on that.
Well, we might have one. Can we just say that's number 7?
Where do we put? So
that's numbers 1 through.
That's number 7.
Seven.
I like it.
Let's go down the money. The
remember in that bottom where we should issue bonds.
Where is
it? Is that part of the bond?
That's a good question. If we did decide, and I don't even know if it would be next year, but if we did decide to go. If everything works out and we go with the dam project and it's bonded, what about the interest?
It would go back to a payment plan, almost like the sewers.
It's in with the bond?
As part of the bond.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But
so we don't have to add anything to our
So it wouldn't
budget.
Affect us. Like, when do you start? I mean, at some point it starts impacting us.
At some point it does, but I don't think it would be during the first year of it. So it's not a concern.
Typically, they pay interest 6 months after issue.
Okay.
So, I mean, but what, $4 million at 3 points is 120, so there'd be like probably a $60,000 payment due.
That's what I would assume.
6 months after issue.
Which then. We would just pull out of reserves until we had a budget by then.
Gotcha.
The same reserves.
So if you have a side project, now's the time to do it.
Gail's got her project.
What do you got, Gail?
She's got her project. But if we wouldn't start that till fall of 22, correct? I mean, I think that's...
Your guess is as good as mine.
Isn't that kind of what Bill's...
I mean, I think realistically it would be after the lake drops...
Yeah.
Next summer, so that's usually
yeah.
Isn't that usually October-ish when they drop the lake?
Yeah, I thought he said.
I would assume fall of 22.
Fall of 22.
I can't imagine that we would be doing anything before that.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then 6 months after that would be 2023's budget.
And it'd probably be issued in chunks, right?
Yes.
You know, it'd be a million or 2 million at a time. Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
I mean, you're probably talking about a rounding error. I probably shouldn't say that on that. I mean, it's a significant amount of money, but in the grand scheme of this budget, it's a rounding error that won't hit the budget until 2020. It probably won't hit the
actual budget
until 24, but okay. Won't be expense until 23 outside of the cost of issuing the bonds, which would
yes
probably take place in 22. Actually, I don't know.
Which is where my grand plan of when the sewers rolling off, then
right.
That opens up $130,000 a year.
Yeah.
That turns around.
Oh, dude, shot there.
That would be
it. Yes. It's all like coming together.
Roll other stuff into
no. Hey, I would love to make $129,000 go towards other things.
Once we have the bond, it's designated for that project and that project only.
It's designated for a general category, but the category is fairly specific.
Okay,
like
so
it would be the category of water retention and preservation or something like that.
So you couldn't do facade?
Nope, you couldn't do
okay.
The front entrance along with it.
Okay.
It
yeah,
could
you
be,
could do
but
a
you could do.
As another add-on.
Yep.
Did when you met with the bond guy, did
yeah.
he say how do they charge their fee up front or do they?
He wasn't very specific. That's why I would love for you to maybe be a part of the next one that we had. I asked him a couple of different questions about things like that, and he kind of skirted around that.
Because that would be should be part of this budget.
Is that what you're thinking?
Potentially, or do they just... I'm sure there'd be a way to build a load into the bond.
I thought he told Dave and I that he built it in.
And there's a whole lot of... There's a whole other layer of financing that
yes.
happens on the back end, so they might
yeah.
you know, issue them at 3.25 here and then turn around and sell them and maybe they profit
yes.
off that, kind of like the...
That's essentially what it sounded like.
The
0% kept trying to explain to Dave
market.
And I...
So,
that he does not make money off of it from us. So
okay.
It sounded much
okay.
better.
Okay, that's probably, you know, I would say it wasn't at the beginning, but my suspicion would be that that's what, how they structure it and then have
and
a buyer on them. And then they probably roll up a whole bunch of municipalities and then have a buyer to.
He said he would be very appealing to people to purchase our bond.
What I think is. Fascinating about this place is you could probably send out an email and fill them up. I mean, you know, who wants to, like,
yeah.
Edward Jones built their entire infrastructure on, like, being a provider of, like, the, don't you want to support your local high school? They're building a new, they need a new scoreboard and buy some bonds. I mean, anyway, people, you know, and clearly.
John Christie Waterslide.
Yeah. So I mean, people. I think if you just said, "Hey, 3 points, 20-year bonds.
Yeah.
Who wants them?" I think it's like we don't even need an issuer. We just need a lawyer to draw them up, and then somebody to write an email.
Well, we did take a gas station in the house.
Could this be another patient
covariant
thing?
Well,
that's what I was
going
to say.
I think
it's
like
yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's of that same ilk, just, I mean, so I'm happy to jump into that meeting. I'm just fascinated at just the uniqueness of the whole.
Yeah.
Thing. He was like, no, you've never issued a bond. I'm like, no. He's like, no, how did you do this? And I'm like, we paid for it. Well, how did you do this? I mean, he was just flabbergasted.
Yeah.
Because I was asking him. Do we look like a 16-year-old driver trying to get car insurance? For lack of a better
right.
analogy to describe it, but I'm like, or a first-time home buyer here, and
yeah.
you're like, ooh, this is really taking a risk.
Right, he's
like,
no, we're writing bonds for some cities. They're issuing bonds to pay the interest on the bonds they issued 10 years ago, but they can't.
He's like, you are like a unicorn.
Yeah.
I'm like, because technically, I mean, we have a sewer bond, but it's not issued through the city of Lake Wavira. It's issued conjointly through Johnson County Wastewater. It's not even in our name.
Well, then knowing that, maybe we shop around.
Yeah, no, I think there's a real interesting play on
mm-hmm.
how it gets done. I don't know enough about how it goes from concept into reality, but I mean, there's enough people out here. I'll just put me down for 100. I mean, 20 of those, that's $2 million.
Get out my financial calculator to calculate risk and return.
Yeah. So anyway, but I don't know how we'd possibly put that in the budget, because
I don't even feel like, supposedly according to budgeting process, you're supposed to budget it for something if you have a ballpark idea of what you'll spend on it during that year to come. I don't even know if we're doing it next year.
Yeah.
Well, and in the same token, it's not on us to. I mean, that would be the equivalent of saying, well, the profit margin of the landscaping expense is X, so we need to delineate those two. However the bond people choose to build it into the deal, as long as it's not a separated line item, then I don't even think it's a budgetary.
No, I don't either. He gives me a number that's well above and beyond. We end up doing an amendment, but that's a risk I'm willing to take, since we don't even have an idea at all of what it would be.
This is off topic. Did we talk about the possibility that we might sub out our landscaping mowing
to somebody?
And if so, that could be higher than what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, I think that was.
Did you add that? I can't.
No, remember. But I think I was.
We alluded to it, and I was hoping that after her being on Wednesday, she would have a little bit of a better idea for July.
It definitely would have to be higher.
I would think so,
Then our level of satisfaction would definitely need to be, much higher also.
Because we're at 25,000 right now for the year.
Yeah.
Now, we do not get 25,000 worth of work.
Who needs to get a bid to see where, how it compares?
Yeah.
Well, and then the other is, which that then would start including probably snow removal and all of that, which I don't think any of us were thrilled with snow removal this year, were we?
No.
No.
But everybody's new, and you'd think that we could get back to those same services.
Yeah.
With our staff here
on
that.
Speaking of snow removal, they say that they only charge us for like snow removal on city roads, but I still think that it's much higher for the amount of time that they claim they spend.
Could be right.
Yeah.
Any other budget discussion with Aaron? No? Okay.
Remember, don't be surprised next month.
Yeah.
Gotta decide.
All right. Any new business? No, any reason for an executive session? Okay. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to approve that. I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Got a motion to adjourn?
I'll second that.
Second, any discussion? All those in favor? Those opposed? Yeah. Meeting adjourned.
Did you get that, Kathy?
Oh, that was funny. I can't even remember what you just said, but it was funny.
They weren't real words.
Move by Nathan too.
I wouldn't put this on the word. Here's a total play with the bonds to go to the foundation. Let's say, all right, let's just have the foundation buy the bonds.
Yeah, mine might even go there, but mine went to maybe a couple of people.
Well.
Yeah.